This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray. A little unusual schedule this week. We will have our weekly chat and podcast with Adam Burke. We'll do that on Wednesday. Wes Reynolds and Matt Eumanns will do combined forces on Friday, or on Thursday, I beg your pardon. And then on Friday, my plan is to go on the beat and talk to a Notre Dame and Ohio State beat reporter. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Numbers have been great all year long, and that is a testament to all of you. And this next gentleman who joins us, I was looking back at my notes, joined us way back in the month of June to take a look at some way too early projections. And he was high on the Tulane Green Wave, and that ended up working out quite well for him. It is the man you know on Twitter, at StatsOWAR, the one and only Parker Fleming. Man, this season's long, and I love it. I don't want it to end, especially because the team that I cheer for, Notre Dame, is in the national championship, Parker. But how goes it, man? Appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, no, Tim, so glad to be here, man. It does feel like a while since we've talked, so I'm glad to get some time and glad to catch up with you. And yeah, how about those Fighting Irish? I mean, what a story this season. They I think you and I were talking about, you know, if I liked Texas A&M to the playoff, should I buy that before the Notre Dame game or after the Notre Dame game? Because I think I had Texas A&M favorite going to that one. So we've come a long way in a long season, is what I'll say.
It really has been. And you know, on this podcast, I said I thought Georgia would beat them. I obviously was wrong there. I like the under in Notre Dame Penn State. It looked right until it wasn't. And now I don't know what the hell to do, because my read on Notre Dame, at least the last two games, has been a little bit off. So I've been diving in a little bit more. No wagers made just yet. But you are the man who dives into the data, and here we are. We've never had a season with more data, right? Because this will be the 16th game for each one of these programs. Notre Dame dealing with a little bit of injuries. We can dive into that. But your graphs are out there, and I've got it pulled up. Your projection right now is 26-20. So it would be a Notre Dame cover and basically right on the total number. So I guess I'll start with Ohio State for you, Parker. As they've made this run and they've covered all three games here in the playoff, obviously the last regular season game, they lose 13-10 to Michigan. How much has your data improved them throughout the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, they've moved up to number one in overall and offensive and defensive opponent adjusted EPA per play. They were never out of the top five, but it was kind of a, you know, Oregon was there firmly at the top, and then teams 2 through 6 were kind of a mire there altogether. And Ohio State has just clearly and obviously singled themselves out among the crowd here. And it's crazy to watch. I mean, I think what I said about this team going into the tournament was like, hey, if they could just show up like we know they can for four quarters, they're -7 against everyone in the field, right? Like, we know that the potential for this team has been there. They've been a sleeping dragon all season, even among these frustrating moments. But they're fifth in rushing EPA on offense, first in EPA per dropback. You know, they're eighth on early downs on offense, so they're attacking well really, really early. Just super balanced on you know, both phases of the game. Third in defensive rushing EPA, second in EPA per dropback against the pass. Just so good, so consistent in so many ways. You just don't score against this defense. That's been kind of the bellwether all season, and really, really consistent for them has been the idea that this defense is just going to find ways to mess with you, find ways to make you uncomfortable. The offense, a little bit flighty, a little bit losing their identity some cases, but when they click, man, it is just hard to overcome so complete of a team.
Yeah, we saw that certainly in the Rose Bowl quite dominantly. They're up 34-0 in that one. More of a struggle against Texas, and that final score, it's hard to quantify because there were a ton of penalties by Ohio State, but then you get the scoop and score at the end of the game to make it 28-14. They get the cover in that one, ultimately due to that late scoop and score. Let's look at Notre Dame. Wins over Indiana, Georgia, and Penn State. You know, the Georgia win, 17 points scored in a span of like a minute of game time with the end of the first half and then the start of the second half, Parker. And then you look at the Penn State game, they open things up a little bit in the second half and they're able to get to 27 points, get the victory. What have you done numerically with Notre Dame throughout this run here in the postseason?
Yeah, so their defense has held constant overall. They are second in EPA per play for the second year in a row. Marcus Freeman has put together, and Al Golden have put together the number one opponent adjusted EPA per dropback defense. So just really, really stout in that pass game. Their offense is only at 14th this season. Some of that is just due to the inherent nature of rushing efficiency versus passing efficiency. They're so good against they're so good in the run game, rather. They're first overall, adding almost 0.12 points per rush, just an absurd level of efficiency there. But they're not super efficient in the run game. They're 34th in rushing success rate on offense. And so they're getting those big explosive runs. Obviously, that's not breaking news, but they're not as successful as they are explosive. So that drags the overall efficiency down a little bit. And then when you look at the pass game, they're 26th in EPA per dropback, 22nd in success rate. In the pass game, you almost want the opposite. You want to be much more explosive than efficient there, because you do want to be getting those big chunk plays more often in the pass game as well. So Notre Dame's offense is 14th overall. They're by far the lowest rated unit of the four on the field. They have been bolstered all season by excellent special teams turnover luck on defense as well. They're third in starting field position allowed, averaging a start across their own 30. And that certainly helps. You know, your metrics don't have to be as good when you have a Jeremiah Love and you can break off an explosive run and, be in opponent territory, be in a scoring opportunity there. So that offense has been just a little bit underwhelming. We've seen some flashes. What I really liked out of them last week was just the adaptability, the fact that stuff wasn't working and they were finding new ways to make stuff work. I honestly wonder, Tim, and you probably have a good opinion on this, is, bringing in Angeli just kind of like woke up some demons or something. It was like, oh, we can pass the ball. Like, we can actually do this against these guys. And then they went out and did it the second half.
Yeah, it's funny. I was at the game, Parker, and when Riley Leonard goes down and Steve Angeli comes in, he leads them on the field goal drive, which I truly believe, helped them stay in the game, maybe won 100%. Them the game. Not in the sense that won them the game, but you're down 10-0 at halftime. Yeah. And to your point, maybe it did just give that little confidence boost, because their first drive out of the half was a touchdown drive and a thing of beauty. But I had two Notre Dame fans sitting behind me, younger gentlemen, and they're, oh, I can't believe you're bringing Riley Leonard back in. This is a massive mistake. And sure enough, they go right down the field and score a touchdown. So you don't have that reliable receiver as we have seen so far this year. It was Jordan Faison who made a couple of plays against Georgia. Jaden Greathouse, the first 100-yard receiver for the Irish since the Sun Bowl, when it was Faison as well against a depleted Oregon State team. But, for me, and I haven't gotten to the window yet, I don't know if I want to get there because I want Notre Dame to win, but I'm really having a hard time envisioning how this offense has success. And you look at a team total around 17.5, and I'm thinking, all right, what's the avenue? Obviously, turnovers, as we saw in the Georgia game, were massive. And as we saw in the Penn State game, the last turnover there, special teams as well. When you look at your numbers, where do you see Notre Dame? I don't even know if it's an advantage. Where are they even with this Ohio State defense? Because I'll say this, Parker, all throughout the year, I've been consistent. The one thing I know I love about Ohio State, I love Jim Knowles, I love this defense. And when you've got a shaky offensive line, we'll call it that right now, with some injuries, where can Notre Dame, in your opinion, maybe see some success against this Ohio State defense?
Yeah, well, for Notre Dame, I mean, you're just seeing it's such a long season. You mentioned that before, and guys are banged up and teams aren't, fully prepared for the reality of what it's going to take to get to the end here. And Notre Dame is limping's not the right word, because they're knocking people the hell over as they're doing it, but they are bruised and battered getting down the stretch here. And Ohio State feels like they're getting hot at the right time. So clip that, whatever, but I do think that just means it'll be all the more exciting if Notre Dame's able to pull this off here this weekend. I think there's a couple avenues for Notre Dame's success. One is that Ohio State's offense has not been great on third and fourth downs relative to early downs. I mentioned their early down success earlier. They're 20th in third and fourth down success rate. Notre Dame's defense is fourth. So that's an opportunity where, if you're about evenly matched on early downs, which these two teams are on offense and defense, what Notre Dame can do is say, hey, our game is Will Howard has to process. Like, we want to take away all the quick shots to those athletes on the outside. We want to cover the screen game. We want to snuff that out. You know, the zone read, the outside zone, like, we want to be all over that. We want Will Howard on third and six or longer to have to make multiple reads and find an open receiver. That's your bread and butter, right? That's ideal here. And there is some evidence here that Notre Dame can kind of push them into that. So defensively, I think that's the key. On offense, you go and look at what they did in the Penn State game. And, you know, Anais Williams had a great game, yeah, in the air. You know, just, and I think, and Greathouse too, I think did Greathouse have more yards this game than he did all season? It kind of felt like it there. I don't think that's true, but I mean, just
not
an excellent way
off, to be honest,
find guys who aren't your bread and butter. Even early on, they were going to Evans in the short game, right? And they were able to find him and kind of just create and find open guys. That's what you're going to need. You need to rely on, hey, we're 22nd in rush dropback success rate, and we are the most explosive rushing team. You have to respect the fact that we are going to break out a big rush if you do not, you know, if you don't stay on top of it. How did Penn State stay on top of it? They had Abdul Carter with one arm, granted, spying and really, you know, running some diabolical stunts. Ohio State has two great edges. Do they have an Abdul Carter? I don't know. I don't know if they can have the singular effort there. They're probably going to have to devote more resources to the run game than Penn State did. Honestly, that's an opportunity for the pass game to step up. Riley Leonard is going to have to perform in a way, again, that we have only really seen one other time this season. But I do think there is a path there for Notre Dame by forcing Ohio State to stall out early and capitalizing on those late downs, and then finding success in the pass game, capitalizing on the fact that they are so explosive in the run game, and Ohio State has to devote more resources to it.
Jaden Greathouse had 359 receiving yards on the year heading into the Penn State game, and at 105 against
amazing
Penn State. So,
amazing.
Know, yeah, I mean, it wasn't doubled up, but not too far off your question there. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Offensive line, you know, it's funny, things come full circle. We had a podcast over the summer when the news came out that Charles Jagasaw would be lost for the season due to the pec injury, and now he's listed as or starting at left tackle with the injury there on the left side. So it's kind of funny how things ultimately play out here for Notre Dame. And you know, you mentioned kind of limping into the postseason here. Notre Dame put up their depth chart right now, and for them, Anthony Knapp, the true freshman who started at left tackle, filling in for Charles Jagasaw. Now Jagasaw, because the season has been so damn long, could ultimately be back at that left tackle position. He came in and played some guard against Penn State. I thought he actually did a pretty good job. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will take a look at the other side of the ball. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Parker Fleming joining me here on this special edition. Plenty of episodes. My goal, 4 episodes this week for you guys as we get ready for the College Football Playoff Championship game. Notre Dame and Ohio State right now on Tuesday morning. We'll call it a consensus 8-point favorite are the Ohio State Buckeyes, and the total sitting around 46. So you've alluded to it, Parker. Let's jump into it from a Ohio State offensive standpoint. Where do you see the advantages for Ohio State against this Notre Dame defense?
Yeah, I think obviously you're best on best with the drop back. We've seen how versatile these running backs can be. Just the duo of Henderson and Judkins, just having these fresh legs at multiple times, even as their offensive line has looked a little you know, cobbled together because of some injuries. Chip Kelly's running some odd 13 personnel runs, just trying to get bodies in the right place to let these running backs go. But the run game and the weapons they present there are just an overwhelming threat. Even if the quarterback play hasn't been amazing, it's been good out of Will Howard. It's been good enough when you have the weapons they have. If Notre Dame can't get pressure on Howard, if they can't force him to process, he's got a stable of 4 legitimate NFL guys at wide receiver, plus these 2 running backs that they can go find all over the place. A couple stats that stand out. The Ohio State is only 15th in quality possession rate this season, but they are 10th in finishing those drives. They are going to score touchdowns when they cross the 40, that's just going to be a huge advantage there. Notre Dame is first at preventing those quality drives, but they're 27th. In finishing those drives allowed, allowing over a field goal. So huge mismatch there, especially at the top end of the distribution, with Ohio State's finishing ability on offense and Notre Dame's finishing ability on defense. I think that's going to be really, really important there. Can, when the field gets short, can the Notre Dame defense kind of challenge the athleticism, kind of frustrate this team like they did against Penn State? Penn State had at one point had 7 or 8 tries right there at the goal line and couldn't do anything with it. Ohio State is going to be able to finish some more of those, which puts more pressure on the Notre Dame offense to score and to stay up there. Additionally, in terms of offensive stats that stand out, Ohio State is third in dropback success rate. So even as they are super, super explosive, they are great at finding the check down, at finding their guy, and just keeping the chains moving even as things are going wrong. So a lot of weapons, an offense that doesn't, you know, rely on the quarterback too much besides just distributing the ball well. And I think the big issue for Notre Dame is kind of twofold. Can they generate pressure, and can they bow up when the field gets short in those quality possessions?
Yeah, I'm really curious. I was looking at the Will Howard rushing prop, 11.5 is where it's at FanDuel right now. And I think he could be utilizing his legs a little bit more. And to your point, I don't know if Notre Dame is going to consistently be able to get that pressure, which is all important when it comes to rushing props in college football, because sacks do count against your rushing number. Now, he only was able to get 4 total yards, but Texas had pressure, right? And 18 total. Yeah, he did have a long of 18, I should say, against Texas, I beg your pardon. So when we look at the Texas game, Parker, I'm curious what your numbers ultimately spit out, because the people that had big time success in those games, we had the Travion Henderson screen pass, Emeka Ebuka. He actually did go under his player prop. He had 5 catches for 51 yards. But as everyone wants to point out, Jeremiah Smith was completely held in check. 1 catch for the entire game. But Notre Dame lives in aggressive man-to-man. They trust their corners in Christian Gray, who made the interception that ultimately won Notre Dame the game against Penn State, but he is a guy that got picked on quite a bit against USC, and we saw it a couple times against Georgia as well. And then you've got Leonard Moore, the true freshman, who stepped in for Benjamin Morrison and played quite well. So what do you expect from Notre Dame in their secondary? It's a strength. You pointed out your numbers. I believe it's the best in the country, but they have not faced a wide receiver core like the one they're going to go up against on Monday night in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't think they'll necessarily be outmatched. I do believe it is a strength on a strength. If only for nothing else, then Ohio State has just really struggled to put together the offense functioning in its intended way for 4 quarters. Like even in the Tennessee game, they stalled out a little bit in that second quarter. I just really think that Notre Dame is going to be able to they're just not totally going to get blown out here in the secondary aspect of this. One reason I'm optimistic about that is just, I mean, how much did we hear about how Tyler Warren was a unique matchup challenge, and how much he presented problems because safeties were going to have trouble lining up against him, linebackers were, and Notre Dame found a way to adapt there. Warren had 1 or 2 catches, but really the big plays came out of the backfield for him. And I think that there's not a traditional mismatch in that sense of, hey, this athlete is something that is kind of unique and makes it hard to fit, so much as it's going to be about execution. That's where you start to get into, Tim, the idea of culture and coaching and what Marcus Freeman has put together. And can these guys just execute for another game? Obviously, I think the athleticism there is going to go in favor of the Ohio State wide receivers, but I think the margins are going to be a little bit closer because of the Ohio State offensive line, how Notre Dame has continued to get pass rush, even as guys have gotten hurt, even as guys have gone out. And so I do think those two things will help a lot in terms of giving those corners a little bit more time. It is concerning. And if this thing goes to the tail right? If this thing turns into a 34-3 or, you know, one of those old Alabama style games, sorry to put sauce on things there, but it'll be because the athleticism gap is just bigger than we anticipated. It's Ohio State's clicking and the Notre Dame safeties are on islands, or defensive backs are on islands, and they just can't make up the athleticism gap there.
So I want to hit on the running backs because you alluded to this, and look, I was there in Miami watching that drive at the end of the first half by Penn State, and it felt like it was just a pure muscle drive, and this is going to kind of end the game, so to speak. A 15-play, 90-yard, 7-minute drive that ends with Nicholas Singleton getting into the end zone. And Singleton finishes with 84 yards. He had 3 touchdowns in the game. Catron Allen had 82 yards. So I know Ohio State fans, Parker, are having PTSD about the tough mindset and running the ball down their opponent's throat like they tried to do against Michigan. But to me, it does feel like that's kind of an avenue for Ohio State to maybe take advantage of a thin Notre Dame defensive line. No Riley Mills there. They've lost a couple other pieces up front. Can you envision Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, both their rushing totals, by the way, at 57.5 right now at at FanDuel, could you envision them leaning on this run game, even though against Texas, it felt like it was, we're going to beat them through the air?
Yeah, so one thing that we probably won't get into on this podcast is like the philosophical difference between like, is a screen really a pass? Like, did they get 75 passing yards there? I'm inclined to believe that it's not. And so, that certainly goes into the run game in my mind. Sure. But I think looking at this, if I'm Notre Dame, I love it. I'd love for Ohio State to try to match our physicality, to try to play for these big, meaty, clock-killing drives and move us off the ball. That plays to our advantage as the underdog in terms of time of possession. That plays to our advantage in terms of the explosiveness in the passing game, allowing our corners to pick their spots and not get exposed and not be on an island consistently. So I think Notre Dame would certainly love to see that. I think Ohio State last week did a good job of getting the ball out quickly to Tate and Egbuka early, and then punishing with the running backs when Texas kind of overcompensated there. And I think that Ohio State's subtle flip in the playoff has been, we're going to use the run game as kind of a cleanup for the pass game. So like when the numbers, we can manipulate the numbers to the pass game, and then we can move you around in the run game because of that. And I think that's really what's interesting here. Having both of those guys fresh legs, we saw that with Penn State, that's such an advantage, and both can be weapons in the pass game as well. But I think it would be a mistake for Ohio State and a benefit for Notre Dame if Ohio State tried to come out and be run heavy and say, you know, we like the physicality, we can do that. You'd hope if you're on Ohio State or an Ohio State fan that they've learned their lesson about doing that.
There's no doubt. All right, Parker, your numbers are great at StatsoWar on Twitter's where you can find him. He'll have content coming out all week long. 26 to 20.3 is your projection. So based off of the numbers, is there anything that you're looking to bet in this national championship? Is that enough of an edge to take the points with Notre Dame? Anything else from a betting standpoint that you've gotten to the window on for this national title?
Yeah, so I like I think the one that intrigued me, I'm not at the window on anything yet, was looking at the Ohio State first half. Mm-hmm. Part of that is just because I do think Ohio State's a better team. Obviously, my numbers have them there, but I do think Notre Dame has competed all season. And I do think that they there's no game state short of, you know, disastrous injury where Notre Dame does not play a competitive second half in this game. And so I do think that Ohio State first half, I believe I see that at 5.5 right now, is maybe the only angle I have on this game, just because I'm very close to market on both of these numbers. And I do think Notre Dame could be competitive in the second half. So that's like taking the Ohio State full game line with a little insurance on against Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman being competitive in the second half.
He's Parker Fleming. Always love his insight. It's great to kind of bookend the season with you. You were one of the first gets over the summer, and here you are the week of the national championship, breaking it down for us. Read all his work and follow him at StatsOWAR. Parker, great stuff, man. We appreciate it, and enjoy the national championship. It's been a long season, man.
It has. Thanks. Always great to talk to you, friend. And I hope you enjoy it, both as someone who does great work and someone I respect, and as a Notre Dame fan, man. I hope you enjoy this time.
I will do my best. No promises, but it's been a hell of a run. Plenty more content coming throughout the week. Once again, that's Parker Fleming. I'm Tim Murray. Adam Burke on Wednesday. Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on Thursday. Follow us here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Thanks to Ryan Hunter, our producer. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.